All right, good morning. Too bad I didn't think about it. I would have tried to find some pictures of Roger when he was younger, but I didn't have that foresight. I'm getting a little older. So welcome, and Roger explained it well, where we got our burden, and it's a burden that we hope to carry. Last evening, Elmer talked about a little steam left under the hood, and I just encourage us all to keep on keeping on. As long as we got a little steam under the hood, let's keep busy. And I guess if God calls you to play shuffleboard, it's okay. I'm not going to go there. But yeah, let's do what we can. I would just like to encourage us all to do what you can. Marvin had some organ recitals there. I could probably go into some hardware recitals as well, but I think I'll pass on that for now. You don't really care how many screws and plates I have. I don't have a story like Roger did about his father-in-law's dad there, but I do have a vivid memory of my dad. We just lost my dad in January to dementia, and he was 91. He was ripe old age. He wasn't able to say my name for the last several years. But we could tell that he knew when we were there. And the memory I'm going to share is the doctors at the care facility call our family together to make a decision about hospice care. And most of us were there, had a short little meeting. Everybody agreed it seems like the right thing to do. We're in Dad's room. He's in his recliner there in the corner. Almost flat, not quite, just resting, motionless, eyes closed. Honestly, did not know if I would ever see his eyes open again on this planet. As the doctor was leaving, she commended us for being, working together as a family and all showing up. Almost all of us were there, and everybody agreed and so on. And then it got silent. And then one of my brothers said, "Well, we didn't always agree on everything," something like that. He felt like we got a little more praise than maybe we should have had. And all of a sudden, Dad opens his eyes. He opens his eyes and chuckles and laughs. That's a great memory. All right, switching into scams, and more scams. There's many of them, and we can't begin. We're only going to be able to touch the tip of the iceberg here this morning, but we do help. We will be available this afternoon if anyone wants additional conversations or questions. I was reminded when we're talking about the illegal money pulls and the one-man operator. A friend of mine, Wayne Wangert in Holmes County, Ohio, taught me something a few years back. And this is how he said it. Short, one man should never, ever be responsible for someone else's money. And so if that little simple rule were followed, we would save lots and lots of dollars. And that reminds me, the one-man operator. Many of you probably know or heard of Philip Real, Trickling Springs Creamery. He's in prison now, about 4.5 years. I visited him. One day I got the courage to just simply ask him, "Philip, what comes to your mind when you think about what happened?" It was devastating. And the very first words out of his mouth were, "I should have heeded the counsel of my brethren." So he recognized that it doesn't work for one man to be involved and responsible for another man's money. I email with him regularly. One time I emailed him about a trade show and a seminar we were going to do in another state. And I just asked him how he felt about using his name. This is his words, word for word. "May the Lord bless your labors over the next few days. You may certainly use my name. Hopefully it can help someone else avoid this path. Hopefully it can help avoid regrets, heartaches, and disappointments." So what age is golden? And when am I old? We're poking around at that, and I learned that there's no age limitation or requirement to attend a seminar. We found that out by mistake about 10 or 15 years ago. We attended a Golden Age seminar, and we were the youngest couple there by 10 or 20 years or something like that. But there's no age. So if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you are old? I wonder how many would put your hands up. If you wouldn't, what would your children say? Would they say you're old or grandchildren? I remember remember my brother-in-law being tasked with talking to his mother about going to a care facility. Dad had severe dementia, was a burden to care for. Mom could hardly handle it anymore. And so my brother-in-law, her son, and I happened to be there, just coincidence. He said, Mom, what do you think about going to the Lincoln Christian Home? And she got this surprised look on her face, all puzzled. She was in her 80s. She said, well, maybe when we get old. And I don't say that to poke fun. I just... So old I think the bottom line is old, the definition of old, I don't know what the dictionary says, but I'm pretty sure most of us say definition of old is somebody older than us, no matter where we are. Why do scammers target the elderly people? One reason is older people tend to have more savings than they did when they were younger. We also are more trusting. We come from the handshake era. A handshake is just as good as a legal document. We don't need an attorney. Just if you say you're going to do it, you're going to do it. We come from an era of more trusting, a lot less scams. And we are forgetful, and we decline in clear thinking. When my dad was declining, my mother gave us a gift. My parents didn't have a power of attorney set up. As she was passing away, dying of cancer, she encouraged Dad that we need to get power of attorneys. And it was a situation where we did that just before they passed. Mom passed away. And so Dad was already at a place where he didn't think he needed any help with finances, but it was pretty obvious that he did. And if that weren't in place, that road would have been a lot more bumpy. But my point is, the decline in clear thinking probably isn't as noticeable to ourselves as to those around us, whether that's children or friends or whatever. The FBI has a unit, the IC3, it's called, and they just released a report last year. I'm just going to touch briefly on this thing. The IC3 department, one of the things they do is they collect complaints, calls, voicemails, whatever, of people that have been scammed. The scams include advanced fee scams, email compromises, check fraud. Yes, paper check fraud is becoming very high risk. In the mail. Government impersonation. They say, I'm the FBI, or I'm somebody that you would trust. Identity theft. Investment. Roger covered that well. Sweepstakes. One big is unfortunately a real problem in our circles. Overpayment scams. Ransomware. So, and many, many others. But in the last 5 years, this report they just released, 3.79 million complaints came in. Phone calls and emails and stuff. 3.79 million in 5 years. You do the math, an 8-hour business day, that's 6 complaints per minute for the last 5 years. And that's only the people that call it in or decide to report it. So this is only the tip of the iceberg. Lots of scams we never hear about. There's too much shame and embarrassment, and they just simply don't feel like calling or reporting it. The losses, $37.4 billion just on the ones reported, that's $31,000 a minute. And they sorted this all out by age group. Almost half of the losses and the complaints were folks 60 years and older. That's us. 3.4 billion out of the 8.2, so 42%. We are targeted. We are definitely targeted. And we could go into a lot more reasons of why we're targeted. But I think we all know that we are targeted. So I'd like to share a few goals today. I'd like to create some awareness, share some tools, and encourage us. We can't talk about this subject without becoming somewhat negative. It's really negative stuff. It's not, it's a lot of negative. But I would encourage us to remember that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Do you feel fearful? Stop, disconnect, reconsider. The scammers have lots of tools, but we have tools too. We just have to get a toolbox out. We got to learn what the tools are and how to use them. You know, there's a certain scam I'm thinking about that is losing $1 million a day very easily. And there's a tool that I'm going to give you. It's free. It's very simple to use. You don't need a computer. It's easy to use a tool. Don't take a nap. I'm going to give it to you later. Scams, and more scams. There's phone scams, gift card scams, grandchild scams, money-wiring scams, email scams, fake check scams. The list goes on and on and on. And it seems like there's a new one every month almost. Scamming is a big business. Many scammers have well-equipped call centers. This picture shows a room full of people making phone calls. The booths are probably, 3 foot by 4 foot or whatever. Often dozens, if not hundreds, of calls, people working in the call centers making phone calls to scam people. And they're targeting the elderly. They're usually in countries that the law enforcement can't touch. They can't go there. Some of these workers that work in these call centers have no other opportunity to earn a little bit of money so they can buy a little bit of food for their children. More than one scammer has broken down sobbing on the phone when a person that the scammer reached out to challenged them on what they're doing and why they're doing it. Broke down and said, "It's the only way that I can get a little money to buy a little food." Worse yet, some of these call centers are manned by slaves. There was a news release recently that talked about if you didn't get a $5,000 per week quota, scamming people coming in for their owners. What do you call someone who owns slaves? I can't think of the term. They would get beaten or locked in a dark room with no food or water, even electric shocks. There's a lot of negatives in this whole scamming thing. One of the tools for your toolbox that I'm going to really encourage you to think seriously about, and make sure you do it while you're still thinking clearly, as you lose your mental capacity, which I am losing, I might as well admit it. One of those tools for your toolbox is find yourself a money matters partner. For older folks, it might be a younger person. For younger folks, it might be an older person. It doesn't have to be a parent-child. It could be a friend, a relative, an accountant, a banker. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Try to give that some serious thought and find yourself a money matters partner or partners. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Let's do a really quick overview on the three parts to many scams. Not this doesn't include them all, but the three parts are, it starts with communication from a faker. He's lying, he's pretending to be somebody he is not. Next comes a story, and there's lots and lots of stories. They make up a new one all the time. And the stories are lies, of course, and they're filled with emotional manipulation. And in some cases, the victims actually feel a mind control. They feel like they're no longer in control of their own mind. And then it ends with a payment method that is usually untraceable. So let's dig a little deeper into these three parts. Communication methods, phone calls and voicemails is still number one, but it's dropping. Text and email is rising. Still some mail and in-person scams as well, although they're not as common. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. So now the fakers, who are they pretending to be? They're pretending to be a government official like IRS, Social Security, DOT, law enforcement, FBI, border control, sheriff, or they might pretend to be a grandchild or an uncle, an aunt, a relative, or the utility company. We're going to cut your electric off if you don't pay the electric bill with gift cards or whatever within a certain period of time. Stop. Is it really who you think it is? How can I determine, how can this person prove to me that they are FBI or the electric company? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. The stories are endless. Found a parcel with drugs, past due bill, relative in jail, or lose your money. Well, you lost your money, we'll help you get it safe. This is increasing, I think. We hear more about this, where somebody reaches out to you and says, did you have this charge on your whatever account, credit card or Amazon, or did you know that somebody took out $12,000 in your bank account? And, well, no, you didn't. They said, well, we're going to help you. We're the Federal Trade Commission, or we're the FBI, or whatever. They'll dream up a story. They'll say, you're in trouble. You got hacked. Your money's leaving. We're going to help you. So they switch it around, and they pretend to be somebody that's going to be helping, and in reality, they're not. They are experts at triggering fear. What do we do if we fear, if we feel fear? Tell me, stop, disconnect, and reconsider. There's another tactic that bothers me, but it's reality. And that's the one big. You want a grand prize in a drawing, a free car, unexpected inheritance from an uncle in Timbuktu that you didn't realize you had. These are greed motivated. Greed is an intense, eager desire for a number of things, but especially wealth. The fraud-aware phone line receives calls from people asking questions or needing help. There's four phone calls that we took in the last, I'm not sure, half year or so. Publishers Clearing House was many of the reasons. I'm just looking at some notes here. But they won a drawing. They won millions of dollars. All you got to do is pay the taxes or the fees up front. Two of the victims were actually taking money out of their nest egg, their retirement fund, to pay this fees and taxes and all to get their millions. We get calls from children asking, how can we convince our parents that they're being scammed? They're sending thousands of dollars to scammers and they think it's real. How do we help them? Two of the victims were going into debt. They were maxing out credit cards, borrowing money from friends and relatives, mortgaging real estate to pay these fees. And multiple millions of dollars have been lost in trying to pay fees and taxes up front for this big win that never comes. Met a guy at an expo a couple years ago. Two brothers, John and Sam. ABC company called John and said, hey, you're the lucky winner, $500,000. Well, I never registered at a drawing. He said, no, you didn't. Yeah, this is just, you were chosen at random. I got this check here in my hands. Now, in compliance with the United States laws, you got to pay the federal taxes in advance. It's $40,000. And John's a struggling dairy farmer. He's like, I don't have $40,000. Well, these guys were good. They said, okay, so sorry. We have to abide by the United States laws, and we have to get that $40,000 collected before we give you the check. If you can't come up with $40,000, we're going to have to shred the check and do another drawing. He should have said, go ahead, shred the check. But he didn't. He called his brother Sam, and he said, Sam, I won $500,000. Yeah, Sam, he didn't believe it. But he told him the story. He said, if you loan me the $40,000, I will pay you $80,000 back in 2 weeks when I get this money. Sam was just really reluctant, but wow, double your money in 2 weeks. He did it. Gave him $40,000. They paid the ABC company. Next day, ABC company calls and says, we are so sorry. Our accounting department didn't let us know that we also need to collect the state taxes. And that's $20,000. John said, I don't have $20,000. I borrowed the $40,000. He said, well, I'm sorry. We're going to have to shred the check. And you know how the story went. So in the end, they had $60,000. ABC company said, okay, we're having our rep fly out. We'll meet you in the bank parking lot near so-and-so airport. John and Sam hired a driver, went to this bank parking lot, and guess what? Nobody showed. Boy, big surprise. 9 o'clock, nobody here. 9:30, still not here. Had a cell phone number, called the representative. He said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, I am stuck out in the middle of nowhere. My flight had a mechanical failure. We landed, emergency landing. There is nothing around. I can't get a flight out of here to get back till tomorrow, and then this check will no longer be good. And, what's happened? Well, he said, there's one option. There's a private Learjet here that could pick me up in 60 minutes, and I could be another 30. I could be at that bank parking lot. If you just wait around, give me your credit card number. I'll buy the ticket for the private. Anyway, when they got the credit card thing thrown in their face, they finally realized they'd been scammed. So now John owes Sam $120,000, if you go by the handshake agreement, and he was already a struggling dairy farmer. Scammers create urgency. They have false reasons to get you to act immediately. They say something bad is going to happen, or you're going to lose all your money. You're going to jail if you don't act now. Lose your computer data. They know that creating urgency works, and they have a boatload of reasons ready and waiting to create urgency. Let's look at payment methods quickly. The top three payment methods for scams are electronic transfers, cash, and gift cards. So I would encourage us, if we've been tricked about who they are, like who's calling us, and we believe them, and we've been tricked and we believe the story they gave us, let's be proactive and try to think about payments from the viewpoint of what we will do with money and what we will not do with money. So it's okay if they trick us with all these things if we have our funds secured the best we can. We were approached by a bishop who had a number of scams in his community, his congregations, and he said, can't you just take the top 10 tips and put them on one piece of paper? And that's this piece of paper. And talking about payment methods, the first four tips on this sheet are revolving payment methods: bank transfers, cash, ATM, Bitcoin, gift cards, and those. These sheets are available in our literature table. And all the literature is available in large bulk quantities if you want to order for your congregation or friends or whatever. Electronic transfers, 2023, it was a top payment method. Money wires can be sent internationally. and ACHs, bank transfers, cannot. And they're sometimes reversible if you catch them early. Discuss with your banker, discuss with your Money Matters partners, what can we do to secure our funds? Set up safeguards with your bank accounts. Here's a tool for your toolbox. Most electronic transfer scams are preventable. Many, many, many dollars have been lost wiring the money or doing an ACH debit and it goes to the wrong place. We know of several. I'm thinking of one that was, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, two young men, and yeah, it was wired to a big black hole. So here's the tips. Number one, never send funds with only one set of instructions. So if you need to wire money or do an ACH transfer, just don't do it with one set of instructions. Number two, confirm the account numbers using a second form of communication. And it has to be a phone number or something that you trust that you know. Not that they gave you, because they're happy to tell you, well, if you want to confirm this transaction, here, call the fraud department and whatever, and they give you a phone number, and you call them, and it's their buddy sitting two booths down in the call center. You must find a phone number or some way of communicating. Get your banker or your accountant involved if you need to. You just need to stop. Is it really going where you think it's going? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Cash. Many, many, many thousands of dollars are being lost with large amounts of cash. So maybe you need to agree in advance with your Money Matters partner or your banker account or whatever. Look, we just don't do more than $500 in cash without a second opinion, without a confirmation from a friend or whatever. And UPS and FedEx or mail, we just don't do more than $50. There's multiple times when people have went to FedEx at the instructions of a scammer and mailed thousands and thousands of dollars in FedEx envelopes, UPS boxes, or even US mail. You could also say, we don't do more than $50 into a machine of any kind, especially a Bitcoin machine. We just don't do that. You adjust these numbers to your comfort level. But when you have a request for cash that's exceptionally large, what do? Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Agree with your spouse, your Money Matters partner. Seek counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Got to talk a little bit about Bitcoin. Bitcoin ATM is not a safety locker. It will not get your money safe. Never put cash in a Bitcoin machine. Stop. Is it really going where you think it's going? My wife and I have friends that lost $12,000 where they got cash. And she wrote her story. It's on our literature table, 4 pages. All the details, how they got this message on their tablet. They were connected to what they thought was the bank fraud department. They actually called the phone number on the credit card, or I think it was credit card or bank card, and somehow ended up with a fraud department that was a scammer, but they acted like they're really helpful. $12,000 lost. And these friends, I don't know right what words to use, but they're educated, they're sharp. They would never get scammed. There's no way. They knew about scammers. They knew how they worked. But they said they felt like they were under a mind control. They just could not believe what they did. If they would have had something in place where they said, we don't do big amounts of cash without a second opinion, without calling a son or a Money Matters partner. This story is also available to listen on our Fraudware Listen Library, which, by the way, there's cards back on the table that have the Fraudware Listen Library. It has a stop, disconnect, and reconsider. And then also on the other side, there's a list of references. Federal Trade Commission, Elder Care Hotline, a fraud hotline for those 60 years and older. A number of websites and phone numbers. You're welcome to pick up a few of those. I must say we didn't spend a lot of time checking these out, like we just ran out of time. So if you find anything on any of these references, please let us know. And I would say, if you think, like this couple, if you that did the $12,000, if you think that you would never even come close to doing something like that, wherefore he who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I used to think that way. When I first started being exposed to all these scams, I would never do that. I don't say that anymore. These people are professional. It's their business. It's what they do for a living all day long. Gift card scams. There's multiple types of gift card scams. The one I'm talking about is where they give you a story, you need to go buy gift cards, and you need to give the scammers the number. You don't know they're scammers, but they say you got to pay the IRS or pay whoever. Long list of stories. They convince you to buy gift cards, they convince you to give the numbers to the scammers, and then they buy things with those numbers or turn them into cash. It's unknown to us exactly the details, but how they do it. But this is the one where we are losing huge amounts of money. In 2023, gift card scams rose 50%. They rose. 46,000 cases were reported. More than $210 million lost. Federal Trade Commission estimates that only 5% get reported. I don't know where they get that number. But let's just be extremely conservative and round that number up to $365 million instead of $210. So $210 were reported. We know there's a lot that weren't. Now there's $365 million lost. That's $1 million we lost yesterday by buying gift cards and giving the numbers to scammers. Today, we're actually doing this again. And unless something changes tomorrow, people are going to go out and buy $1 million worth of gift cards and read the numbers to scammers. And there's five words, and here's the free tool. Five words and five words only that would take that loss down to zero. Gift cards are for gifts. They're not for payments. Don't ever buy a gift card to pay somebody or something. The only time you buy a gift card is for a gift to someone you know or love. Can we say that together? Gift cards are for gifts. Remember that. We have bookmarks. Grab a few if you'd like. It tells you, the bookmarks remind us, buying a gift card to pay someone, stop, it's a scam. Gift cards are for gifts. Grandparent scams. Your grandchild's in trouble. He needs money now. Maybe there was an accident and he's in the hospital. Maybe there was an accident with a fatality and they put him in prison. He might be in another country, who knows? They need bail money. Maybe his money or car or passport was stolen. Sometimes it's they act like they're the grandchild themselves. And if you look at the yellow highlight there, AI voice cloning can make it sound exactly like your grandchild. It's amazing what the technology can do. If you call our Listen Library and listen to the counterfeit postage stamp story, it sounds like me. I never said any of those words. Somebody cloned my voice and applied that to that story. And it's not always pretending. By the way, if you get a call from a grandchild, I'll bet you the vast majority in this room could tell very quickly if it's a grandchild by just simply talking Dutch. Talk Dutch to him. Can he respond in Dutch? I suppose they could clone somebody's Dutch voice, but here's a news release from the U.S. Attorney General's office. Just came out last month. This is rare, but they actually cracked a ring in Canada. 25 people arrested, 25 Canadians. Lists all their names here. The victims were from 40 states. They pretended to be grandchildren or calling on the behalf of grandchildren. It says these individuals are accused of an elaborate scheme using fear, so they use fear here, to extort millions of dollars from victims who believed they were helping loved ones in trouble. $25 million this ring was able to scam from people. It was multiple call centers, and they just got search warrants and walked right in a call center, and they were people in the call center actively scamming grandparents in Virginia when they walked into the call center and arrested these people. The unfortunate thing is, two of the main instigators are still at large. They will likely just start up another call center somewhere. We don't know. I'm not saying that they did or will. Email scams, think before you click. Is this email safe? Attachment safe? Do I know the sender? You can prevent most email hacks with two-step verification, third-party spam filters, strong passwords, and use a good computer specialist. I can't stress this enough. If you're tech savvy and you can do it yourself, that's fine. But a good computer specialist will help you with things like spam filters and two-step verification, multi-factor verification. These guys are expensive, but getting scammed, getting an email hack can cost you a lot more. Do not trust your caller ID. You probably know scammers can make your caller ID show any name or number they wish to show. Emails can easily be hacked. Be careful with emails. Don't trust an email only without another verification. And that's where most of the millions of dollars that are being lost in wire transfers are from email hacks. They hack into somebody's email, they change the routing instructions, and the money goes somewhere else. Text messaging apps can also be hacked in. We just need to stop. Is it really who you think it is? I have a friend that was scammed. The scammer hacked into his Verizon phone account, set up a call forwarding that whenever he called the Citibank credit card number, the call instead went to the scammer. So anytime he tried to call Citibank, I think it was, the call went to a scammer. And for a long time, they could not understand. You know, it seemed legit, and yet something didn't smell right. In the end, they used his wife's phone and were able to call the credit card company and get things stopped. A lot of stress. I think they didn't lose much money, if I remember right. One tool you can do is check your bank accounts early each morning. You can go online if you have that access and view them. Some of the banks offer an automated telephone service. If you notify your bank immediately of something going out of your account that shouldn't have, many times they can reverse it. I know this takes some time. It's a tool for your toolbox. Just consider it. Get a second opinion as another tool. A second opinion is common in healthcare. Two-step verification, I mentioned, is common in computers. Second opinion, just ask your banker, your accountant, your relative, your money matters partner. Again, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Red flags. Four things. If somebody says you must stay on the phone with them, or if they say you may not talk to anyone else, or if they say you must act immediately, this is very urgent, or if they say you will be in trouble if you do not obey, any of those four things, hang up the phone. It's a scam. What do? Repeat it with me. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Fraud Prevention Toolbox. Here's a couple tools. Get a second opinion. This is kind of repeating what we just reviewed. What are gift cards for? Yes. Great. Use a computer specialist. Don't answer calls you don't recognize. I struggled with that one originally. I come from an era when there was one phone on the kitchen wall, and many of you remember that. And if it rang, it was a busy day. It might have rang three times. If the phone rang, you answered it. And I'm changing my mind. I still answer most calls, but you know what? if you're at a high risk, you're whatever reasons, it's not a bad practice to just not answer. If it's somebody that really wants to talk to you, they'll let you a message. Number five, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Number six, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That rule there, that simple rule, I think it's number seven on our tip sheet, would save enormous amounts of money if we could just remember that. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But we get that feeling that rises up within us. I don't know, maybe you all don't struggle with that. But in Lebanon County, it's pretty prominent. And you sell something that fetched way more than you thought, or whatever it is. You look at your tax return, and there's this feeling that rises up. It feels really good. That feeling is the love of money. It's greed. And if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. We just need to remember that and teach that to our children and grandchildren. I think Roger touched on that, where the attorney said, you need to educate your young people, grassroots, from the ground up. We have an epidemic. Okay, stop. Is it really that urgent? Is it who you think it is? Is it really necessary to be fearful? Is it really going where you think it's going? Say with me, disconnect and reconsider. Take your time, ask someone. Let's never forget, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Stop, disconnect, and reconsider. Please visit our literature table. There's a recent newsletter there. There's a mailing list sign-up sheet. I think we failed to get the literature order sheets along, but I'd be happy to get one to you. As Roger mentioned, there's promotional copies of the Village and the Widow books out there, and the tips for scam prevention. We were going to take some time for questions, but I see we're running out of time. Ken, what do you say? Should we wrap it up? And anyone that's interested in questions and answers, we can do that after lunch? Or I'll let you close. Yeah, so let's wrap it up here. Will you close this part and make that announcement? Or okay. All right, we'll skip the questions. Let's work together to reduce fraud and scams in our communities. Illegal money pulls, scams, and more scams. We can do better. We will do better. I had a goal today of sharing in a compassionate and a caring way. If I came across as arrogant or condemning, please forgive me. If anything was of a help, please give God the glory. There's our contact information, phone number where you can reach any of the state committees or the main committee, 844-740-2790. Email is info@fraudaware.us, and our listen library is 717-562-0872. Thank you for your attention. May God help us to work together to reduce fraud and scams in our communities.